Tank is funded by listeners like you.
Today on Geek Tank, we get all British.
We're going to look at the comedies of Britain that are near and dear to our hearts.
And Troy coins a turn about putting a cucumber in a shoe?
After this. I'm Guy.
Hi, I'm Troy.
Hi, I'm Chelsea.
And this is Geek Tank,
your parrot-sized podcast.
He's not dead. He's resting.
Today, we're talking about British comedy. But first, the news. And now for the news. Our news is brought to you today by Geekway Homes. Get your perfect layer with the people who can relate. The geeks at Geekway Homes. www.geekwayhomes.com. In the news, on 4-2, Falcon 9 SpaceX is launching CRS-14. On 4-5, Ariane 5, Superbird 8, DS-9, DSN-16. Boy, I wrote really weird. Hylas 4, DS-9. Because I've got that on my brain. So, also in the news, Discovery released a bonus scene last week, which was adding a completely interesting twist to the entire Discovery genre, and it was kind of wild.
Was it an outtake, Will, of bloopers?
It was like an outtake, except that that's not what they called it. Hmm. It's an actual bonus scene, which added about... It was only about 2 minutes long, but it completely and totally changed.
One of the characters wakes up and it was all a dream.
Not really, okay. But... almost. But it totally is awesome. And I can't tell you anything about it because spoilers. But it's really, really cool. And we'll watch it whenever we do our Discovery retrospective in a few weeks. Jonathan Frakes will be returning to the director's chair in Discovery this season.
But he will not be returning to Starfest.
To Starfest. We're not bitter. And Lost in Space. The new Lost in Space is coming to Netflix April 11th. Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to that, actually, guys.
Ooh.
Cool, cool, cool.
Oh, you're supposed to do that. Sorry, go ahead.
So we have coming out Thursday, April 5th, a drama horror thriller. So a
drama-riller.
A Quiet Place. It's rated PG-13 because it's a drama horror thriller.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so there's not a big one here, just a little short synopsis. A family is forced to adopt a lifestyle where they live in silence and are full of caution at every act they commit, as they try to remain hidden in sight and sound from intelligently vicious creatures that have begun to override Earth.
Earth.
So it's basically mimes hiding from aliens.
I hate it when mimes hide from aliens.
Well, it's got that guy from The Office in it.
Oh, well, that'll make it funny.
Yeah.
So that makes it a drama, horror, thriller, comedy.
Yeah, John Krasinski and his wife, Emily Blunt. So that's not really acting then, is it?
Right.
If you're playing the husband of your wife in a movie?
I mean, it depends on the situation, but
Well, they're hiding from aliens and can't make sounds. That's a situation.
That's a real-life situation.
I saw the trailer for
that. Happened to me just last week.
And it looks so cool.
It's got the anti-guy effect of the jump scares.
Oh, yeah. I'm not watching
it. You know, it's worse because everything's dead silent.
Because it's all mimes.
Right. Until the...
Jumping off of shelves. Mm-hmm. Stupid mimes.
EA sucks.
Okay.
I hate them.
Yeah.
Who sucks again?
EA.
I thought it was Ubisoft.
Electronic Arts sucks. Electronic Arts is almost worse, but... Dragon Age 4's development has been completely rebooted as of 4 months ago to implement more live elements and services, i.e. multiplayer crap into the game, which I hate.
She's not bitter.
But not only that, just this week, Oh my gosh.
So I only played Dragon Age 1.
I haven't played Dragon in an age.
You can play a female character, so you might like it.
You need to play it. Especially like Dragon Age 1 and 2 I loved, and I was really not sure about Inquisition because it came either before or around the time that Mass Effect 3 came out, and I wasn't super excited about
Nobody expects the Dragon Age Inquisition.
But Dragon Age Inquisition is actually now one of my favorite games. I've played it so many times, it's ridiculous. It is well-loved in my heart. The characters are very well done. It's a lot of fun. And it has a lot of replay value.
Like one, you played it multiple times because there's multiple characters with each character having
I've made multiple characters who have different weapons. So I've made a mainline fighter. I've made an archer. I've made a rogue that stabs people in the back. I've made a mage.
That's redundant.
I've made a support mage. But Dragon Age 4 is now delayed because they're restructuring all of BioWare. I assume that this is because they're trying to push Anthem out because Anthem has a due date. And things are kind of riding on this given that Mass Effect Andromeda did so poorly.
Yeah.
So I'm worried about BioWare, which is one of my favorite game companies. Like, hands down, BioWare is my favorite. They're so amazing. Their game stories are always compelling. Their characters are just incredible, and I'm very, very worried right now because I want Dragon Age 4. I want it.
You have to wait.
Now, yeah, and I'm not a patient person. I mean, there's already been bad news with Dragon Age before. There was some good news. There were some authors who were saying, hey, we're back. We're writing some stuff. I can't tell you what it's about, but it involves Dragon Age.
I sense a EA episode coming up.
Yeah, I sense that too. I sense a disturbance in the EA.
So, I'm scared because it seems like they keep taking the leadership and moving it around at BioWare, and they keep trying to push these multiplayer elements, which we don't really want. Like, in particular, the people who play, like, Dragon Age specifically, they don't need or want multiplayer. So, EA, stop it! You're killing me. I'm so mad.
Okay. Well, and that's the news. So we're talking today about a discussion topic that I'm actually not as familiar with.
Out of your wheelhouse.
I'm out of my wheelhouse. So I'm going to let you two wheel.
Well, it's for me, it has been a big influence on my comedy myself. Mm-hmm. And I know that Chelsea has also mentioned it was a big influence for her. And to this day, we are fans of British comedy.
I adore British comedy.
So I was trying to think back, what was the very first one I saw? And I was trying to remember, was it Monty Python? And I realized, no, it was probably right around the age of like 9 or 10. Totally guessing here. And
Monty
Python?
Nope.
Benny Hill. The Benny Hill Show.
Benny Hill
You know, right
Show.
At that age when you're starting to notice the difference between men and women, mm-hmm. Benny Hill Show was one of those shows that
which had a lot of women.
Was a way to see those things back in the early 80s.
Because they could show that on PBS.
And the internet did not exist.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not the healthiest way to view women.
Yeah, that wasn't exactly a positive.
No.
Not a positive.
No, but funny.
Right.
Very, like, ridiculously brutally honest in sections, but not 100% accurate. And that's how you could probably describe British comedy, is it's awkward life humor. It's self-deprecating. It's people kind of at their lowest. And it's not the nicest, but it's funny. And it can be really, really dark as well.
Oh, yes.
There's some dark stuff.
Monty Python came for me a little bit later in life. Mm-hmm. And I think first was the movies before the sketch show.
You mean Life of Brian?
Life of Brian. I remember watching Life of Brian, and I was like, why do you let me watch this? Like, that guy is naked.
There's a naked dude.
Right. I believe
He's
Monty
not
Python
the Messiah.
And the Holy Grail
He's
was the
a
first
very naughty
movie.
Boy.
Yeah, I think Monty Python and the Holy Grail was the first movie I'd seen.
The very first one?
Of theirs. And then I'd roughly in 89 is when I went to Germany, and my brother would send me videotapes of Monty Python sketches, mm-hmm. of the Monty Python and the Flying Circus show. And then I eventually picked up the complete works of the Monty Python sketches done in script form. Mm-hmm. So I could recreate the scripts in theater, in a drama club. And we did the Dirty Fork sketch, which is where a person keeps complaining about things at their table, and the waiter takes it personally and gets upset, then eventually commits suicide with the fork, and so I had used a Capri Sun to squirt blood everywhere. It was my poor man's squib effect.
Yeah. Squib.
So.
Yeah.
So that was teenage Troy.
So Monty Python holds a very special place in my heart because I was doing the animation class in college, and one of the animation techniques was stop motion, and we opted to do stop motion like Monty Python, and so I have an entire Monty Python,
Terry
Gilliam style. We printed out a whole bunch of fine art and did bizarre, weird things to the fine art, and it was really funny. And it was just bizarre, weird stuff. Cars slipping on banana peels.
Do you, by chance, have those digitized on your computer somewhere?
Yeah.
You should post them on
Geek Tank somewhere
thing.
Along the
yes.
line.
Yeah,
so people
post
can look
them
at
on
it.
The, I want to see that.
Yeah, that would be. That's one of those things. It's just bizarre and weird and funny.
You should make a note on our little notesy thing there.
Yeah,
go find that and post it.
So, yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah.
So that's one of my... One of my, and I mean, we did it in bizarre colors, like we would purposely render it in black and white and then recolorize it so it's all yellow.
Oh, that's so fun, though.
So it's all, you know the car is all blue, and the backgrounds are all green, and, you know, it's like, I mean, it was a lot of fun. It was just a lot of fun, so
and
we did that.
If for some reason you're a listener who is unaware of British comedies, the Monty Python, the Flying Circus is a great place to start. It's definitely very absurd
yeah.
in a lot of what it does, and a lot of non sequiturs between sketches.
But you can get way weirder, so it's a good middle ground.
The Ministry of Silly Walks.
Yeah. Yeah. The spam sketch, if you don't know what spam is.
Spam,
is always
spam,
good.
Spam, spam, spam.
There's an overrunning theme through some of them, and as always, in British comedy, if you're a man and you haven't cross-dressed, then you are not a British comedian. That just seems to be a running theme.
A lot of that plays back to, in Shakespeare sketches, there were no female actresses. They always had men play the female parts.
Yes.
Right. So, sounds like a really boring drama club to me. But
yep.
Sounds like a sausage fest.
I think that was a rule.
It's German theater, isn't it?
Oh my gosh.
So there you go.
So we're looking for me in particular.
Yes.
I did watch Monty Python when I was a kid. I watched a little bit of Bit of Fry and Laurie as well because my parents loved
that
it.
Came later
Jeeves
in my life.
Wooster.
But yes. And for those of you who are fans of House, that's Hugh Laurie.
You should
he started
go back
out
and watch
as a comedian.
Jeeves and Wooster.
Yes, Jeeves and Wooster and a Bit of Fry and Laurie. And Fry is Stephen Fry, who has done a ton of stuff that you've more likely have seen or heard his voice because he also does American TV commercials, I think, too.
He's done a ton of stuff. I mean, he's been in Lord of the Rings.
I kind
he's
of imagine...
Been in, or, I'm sorry, he was in The Hobbit. He's been in a million things.
Yep.
Like, I can't even start. He was on Bones. He was a psychologist on Bones for a little bit.
I haven't seen
so
that.
So some people might have seen
I
that.
I personally love his philosophies in life, but I know that would rub people the wrong way, so I can't recommend.
I like his philosophies in life, too.
I adore them. He's fantastic. But what really got me into British comedy was I was dating a boy at the very beginning of high school. It was like my first legit boyfriend, and he introduced me to Blackadder. But he introduced me to Blackadder backwards. I watched the Christmas special first. Where, like, if you don't know Blackadder is just a jerk, and he's got a servant named Baldrick, and they're just going through time together. And Blackadder's plan is always to get rich and be amazing and die very wealthy and very happy, but things always stand in his way. And his servant, Baldrick, is just this dumb guy who comes up with cunning plans that never, ever, ever work.
And it's done generationally. And what's interesting is Blackadder starts out actually pretty stupid.
Yeah.
And Baldrick's not that dumb, but he's definitely
but
not
he's
bright.
He's smarter.
And then as the seasons and the generations progress, you can see Baldrick become stupider and Blackadder become more cunning and sinister.
And it's a really funny show.
I wonder if that's an influence of Rowan Atkinson.
I
want my character to be smarter, please.
That worked because he had played like the dumb Mr. Bean who can't do anything, and so this was the real role reversal, and he's really good at being a complete and utter jerk.
Yeah.
He's such a snide. jerk in Blackadder, especially. So in the Christmas Carol, it's a nice shopkeeper who's very loved, and he gets visited by three ghosts, and he's like looking through his time period as his ancestors are jerks, and it's looking back on the show. And he realizes that he's never gotten a penny in his life. Everybody's taking advantage of him. So screw it. I'm going to be evil. And so he flips.
Yeah, it's the but reverse the selling show, of Scrooge.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And so if you don't watch it in order, that is very confusing.
But it was very funny that I watched it that way because I actually loved it. Because you've seen Christmas Carol a million times. So to see it flipped is hysterical. So I did really, really enjoy it. And there are some fun little pokes here and there. And there's also a movie as well. So I just, that started the ball rolling. Like, I loved it. It's
rolling
fantastic.
Ball.
Mm-hmm. So.
And I have to say, I have probably learned more about history through Blackadder than I had through any high school class.
Yeah.
Because they touch on a lot of sending Columbus out. And
in the potatoes, yeah.
So sending the potatoes out.
A crazy guy with scurvy.
So I think I don't know how much we got left for our first segment, but we're going to talk about sketches, I think, first.
Yeah, we can talk about some different sketch shows.
I don't have a lot on my list here because I guess there weren't a ton of sketches.
I have a bunch.
I think we said all of the ones I thought of other than one that came much later, which was the Ali G Show, mm-hmm. which was done by Sacha Baron Cohen,
right.
who
does
characters. He did Borat. He plays a white rapper gangster in the Ali G Show who has his own TV show, mm-hmm. who interviews people as this
character.
Aloof,
persona,
idiot,
yeah.
persona character.
So he does this a lot. This is his thing. To do a character in a character.
And not get in that way when he's interviewing you and he's talking about, he'd interview you and talk about NASA and about, he'd come up with some other weird thing for what the NASA stands for.
Right.
And do it in a way that completely convinces you that the guy interviewing you is an idiot, even though the actor totally knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What other sketch bits shows
the
have you?
Catherine Tate Show.
It's a
fantastic,
new one for me.
Funny show. Catherine Tate played Donna in Doctor Who, and she has her own sketch show. She does a lot of different repeating characters, and it's hysterical.
I've seen a couple of those.
There are a lot of comedy duos that do sketch shows. So, like Jennifer Saunders and Dawn French, who did Ab Fab later on, they started in sketch shows, I believe.
Yeah, so we're going to cover those
in segment two. You've got A Bit of Fry and Laurie as a sketch show. You have another one called Little Britain, which some people might not get if you don't really understand British culture because it's really, really self-deprecating. It's hysterical, but it's kind of. I don't want to say it's dumbed down, but some people honestly can't stand it. That Mitchell and Webb Look, which is David Mitchell and Robert Webb, is also a sketch group. They're really, really funny. And Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon do a couple different sketch shows together as well. So
let's go to a break, and we can continue this discussion right after this.
Hi, I'm John Stith, author of Manhattan Transfer. You can find me at neverend.com, and you're listening to Geek Tank.
And we're back. We're at our favorite coffee shop here on Wadsworth, north of 6th Avenue and south of Alameda, or north of Mexico and south of Canada.
That's pretty much more accurate, I think.
Okay. Yeah, there.
Because I think you managed to put us...
I flipped it around somehow.
Yeah, you somehow managed to put
north
us...
North of Alameda, south of
6th. There you go.
There we go. So we're talking about British comedies, because why not? And we covered kind of sketchy shows. It's sketchy in the first one. Now we're going to talk about ones that are more like...
ongoing
stories. And there's so many British... comedies. I did say television shows. We're looking at the British television show comedies. So we're looking at the ones I think that we really like, that we've actually seen. And I'm sure there's several out there I haven't seen that I would really like.
Yep.
And there's a few that you've actually seen, Guy.
Like a handful.
Or at least a couple episodes of some. Like Red Dwarf, you've probably seen.
I've seen Red Dwarf.
Was it a pilot or just sort of like a random episode in the middle?
It was a pilot and then a handful of episodes scattered throughout it. It was on a channel at one point in time.
That would be true.
And
on a channel.
You know, it was one of those during the 90s when I would watch TV randomly and it would be on a channel. And therefore,
oh, there's a spaceship.
I would watch Red Dwarf because it was Red Dwarf. And so I would watch it. Oh, yay, this is fun. You know, it's Red Dwarf and everybody likes Red Dwarf, so I will watch Red Dwarf. But... I didn't like watch it religiously. Mm-hmm. I seem to remember that at the time I was in college and I had homework to do, and so I would catch it if I could. It was kind of like Roswell. I watched Roswell too, about the same kind of religiousness of enough that I knew the story. I kind of got the characters, got a gist of what was going on. But for the life of me, I could not tell you what happened in episode 46.
Right.
Because I probably
did
not see 46.
There's genius episodes, though. There's like the backwards planet where everything happens in reverse motion. And there's a reverse bar fight, which is freaking incredible.
Because they have bruises before they get to the bar and they can't figure out how they have bruises.
Right.
And then, of course, after the bar fight, the bruises are gone. It's watching Red Dwarf intermittently, or in the way that you did, would be like watching Deep Space Nine the same way.
Right.
There's stuff that happens that if you miss it, the show itself overall suffers as being entertaining, I think. So it's not, it doesn't leave as strong of an urge to watch more if you don't watch them all in order. For me, Red Dwarf was a breakthrough moment in British comedy when I saw it. I just fell in love with the thing. And I was lucky enough to start close enough to the beginning that I knew what was going on.
I think that was part of the problem was I started somewhere in the middle watching it because it was on TV and it was a space show.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, when everybody said, oh, this is a ridiculously great show, I then watched the pilot. So I was like, oh, that's why he's a cat.
Little trivia.
I get it now.
They tried to do an American version of it, and they were able to bring Cat, the actor who played Cat, over for the pilot. And it did horrible.
Of course it did.
They didn't really... Some
Why
of the jokes they tried to
they
translate
just don't
work.
Get it.
It's not going to work. No. And
well, and it's because it's the same thing I keep saying. If you like British comedy or if you like British shows, then you're already acclimated to the culture. You don't need translation.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't understand it, you're not going to get any of it. And therefore, you make these hybrid translations and you're like, it's just lost on people like... say my dad,
your
who
dad.
Would watch it and go, I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're going to get. But Mariah, she would love these things, and she does. She watches them religiously. She thinks they're great. But she already has the little British show translator in her head, so she's good. You know, she doesn't need any help, you know?
And this brings us back around to Blackadder, because Blackadder is a series show.
It is. It's really sad. Like, especially the fourth season, it takes place in World War II.
They don't pull any punches in that one.
They really don't, but there are some really funny, genuine moments in that show.
Mm-hmm.
Funny moments?
Yeah. I mean, and they're in the Elizabethan era in the third season of the show.
Correct.
And Queen Elizabeth is stupid
Hilarious.
And bratty and always trying to chop off people's heads because they're very naughty and she doesn't like it.
Did you bring me a gift? I hope you brought
me a
gift.
Did you bring me a present? And her nurse is just ridiculously funny.
So, yeah, I definitely, if you are going to check out shows, check out Blackadder.
Blackadder is a good one to start with. If you are a tech person in the world, IT crowd is
absolutely
hilarious.
Now, that one was one I've seen.
I think it's still on Netflix at the moment, but
it
I'm
is
not
currently,
sure.
Yes.
So it's
and that's another one. They made an American version that just didn't go well.
Yeah,
there's
because they got... I do really enjoy the comedian Joe McHale. Loved Community, but he does not work as the main character in the IT crowd because that character was kind of a slob geek. And Joe tried to play more of the cool guy tech IT guy.
And it's not about that. It's about the two really awkward nerds who manage to find each other and one woman who has no idea what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
they probably...
And it's very silly. So if you've ever heard the phrase, have you tried turning it off and on again? It's most likely from that show and from your IT friends. So that one's really, really good. Another good one is Black Books.
Yes, Black Books is about a man who owns a bookstore, but he hates people.
Yeah, all he wants to do is smoke and drink himself to death and read books.
And read books.
And he wants everybody to leave him alone.
Mm-hmm.
So he hires this weird man named Manny, to manage the shop. And his occasionally very strange female friend who just can't seem to get ahead in life visits
who also
the
loves
shop
to drink.
Very often. Yeah, loves to drink, loves to smoke, is a very horrible person and knows it. So it's these three very like awkward characters like shuffled together. My favorite episode is Grapes of Wrath. That's the one I quote the most often, and it is very, very funny. Great show. It's on YouTube, actually.
Oh, cool.
It's not on Netflix anymore.
The main actor plays the awkward friend enemy of Simon Pegg's character in Shaun of the Dead.
Yes.
Frenemy.
Frenemy.
The jerk.
Yeah.
The complete and utter jerk.
I would also like to throw out there a really oddball one that not a lot of people have heard of is The Young Ones, which I actually saw first on MTV that brought it over, and it was one of the first non-music things that MTV carried. And it's about a house of misfit people living together. So actually like a hippie, a punk rocker, an anti-fascist character. And they really span the gamut of toilet humor to highbrow literature humor, which I think was probably its downfall because it didn't have a target audience like me. It's like, Troy's our target audience.
And, right.
But it's that's one of those where I don't think they did more than maybe one, maybe two seasons of.
And,
by the way, British
funny.
Shows, their seasons are typically like six episodes.
They do what's called a series, and they do miniseries, which are like four episodes, and some of them are longer, 6 to 13. But their seasons are shorter than ours because they run a lot of different shows at the same time.
Right. Which I think that's really interesting because I'm noticing that our TV series are starting to go that way. Discovery went 14 episodes. Orville went 14 episodes.
I like the shorter episodes. I think it feels more concise. The characters are a little more fleshed out. And the
shorter
story
seasons,
keeps
you
moving.
Mean?
Yeah. I like the shorter
seasons.
The
problem
shorter
is story. I actually disagree. I feel
end.
Like I didn't get into half the characters in Discovery. Although I did feel like I got into most everybody in Orville. Mm-hmm. So that might have been...
Phrasing.
So, just having it. Hey,
speaking of space, there's also a show called Spaced, which has nothing to do with space.
So
no.
funny though.
Simon Pegg and Nick Frost,
and a couple other oddballs that you've seen before in the different movies in the Coronado trilogy that you'll recognize. So it's about two man and woman who essentially appear to be dating. In quotes, so that they can get a flat and all the weird characters that they live with. So they have this like super depressed painter who lives downstairs. Mm-hmm. They have a gun nut who is Nick Frost.
Nick Frost, yes.
They have this crazy lady who lives next door. So it's
yeah, so they both were trying
fun.
To rent a place and they couldn't alone.
Yeah,
and so they pretend to be a couple so they can actually rent a place.
And they kind of get along, but they kind of don't. Like they try to start dating and it just doesn't work.
Conflict is necessary for storytelling,
right?
Even comedies. And, yeah, so Space, a fun one. Extras, which is Ricky Gervais, plays a wannabe actor. And they have some fantastic guest stars on that show, like Johnny Depp, Patrick Stewart. It's just some fantastic...
Sometimes I can't do Ricky Gervais because he's so awkward. He is the king of awkward comedy. So you're like, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this, but it's funny and it's killing me inside. It's that kind of comedy.
Well, I do have to say it probably hurts because you want to be an actress. And going through a lot of the same horrible things that he has to go through is a bit too close to home.
Yeah, it really is. It sucks. That show was fun to watch, but I can watch like maybe half an episode at a time.
And then one last show I'll throw out there that you should check out before we go to break is one called Misfits, which is what I always thought heroes should be. This is not for kids. Warning, not for kids. Warning, not for kids.
Probably luckily, not for... most of the stuff that's said is said by that gal, and I can't understand her accent at
well,
all.
Well, sure, but the nudity and the boinking and the violence and all that, not for kids. You don't have to be able to speak the language to understand that stuff. But it's what I always felt heroes should be. It's about kids who get superhero powers, but they're already not that great moral fiber-wise, I guess. So it's like, what do these people do when they get superpowers? Do they become supervillains or superheroes or just not do anything? In any case, we're going to go to break now because we're not going to just sit here and not do anything. We're going to go to break, and we'll be back after this.
Hi, this is Keith Myers from Board Game Republic. You're listening to Rocky Mountain Geek Tank.
And we're back. And I'm just going to go through a couple well-known things that you can also start with as well, and then some really obscure stuff if you find that you do enjoy British comedy. Fawlty Towers with John Cleese is hilarious.
Who is from an alumni of Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Yep. He's running a hotel and everything's falling apart around him all the time. It's a lot of physical comedy, which is fantastic. It's hysterical. If you want a little more like of a religious side, like a little heart-to-heart kind of journey, I love Vicar of Dibley. It's one of my favorite shows. It's very, very sweet, and it's kind of based on the true life experience of the first woman pastor in the Episcopal Church in England and what she went through.
And I'd never heard of this one.
It's very heartwarming. I love it. Neither have I. You will cry and you will laugh so much. It's amazing. There's another older show called My Hero. It's about a superhero who comes to Earth and finds a woman and manages to date her. And then they have a child and all of their crazy experiences. He is a superhero thermoman. It's very fun. It's on YouTube. Easy to find. Let's see. What else do I have? AbFab. Absolutely fabulous. Did you enjoy 70s disco? Do you still wish you lived there? Do you want to see some really, really crazy women? AbFab is amazing. It's two women who are absolutely obsessed with the past and have
and
not
absolutely
grown
fabulous.
Up. And they are AbFab. They are fantastic. It is such a funny show, but it is a weird one.
And make
so
sure
it's
you,
on the weirder side.
Make sure you see the British version, because some of these British shows they've tried making really bad American versions of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keeping Up Appearances is really funny. It's more about the class of society. It's about a woman named Hyacinth who's kind of projecting this outerness of, I am a wealthy woman who is composed and I'm a lovely British lady. And she comes from a family of slobs and she doesn't like to talk to them, but they do love her for all her craziness.
And
so
it
it's
all
kind
takes
of,
place in a department store.
No.
I thought you said, are you being served?
No, Keeping Up Appearances takes place in her house. But it's very funny. It's about a woman's tunnel vision, essentially, and everything going on behind her.
I got ahead of the script.
But you just mentioned a show and I just blanked on it.
Are you being served?
I love Are You Being Served. It's fantastic. It's a very funny show about a department store, and it's very heartwarming and fun. It's about a time when they moved the women's lingerie by the men's section, and just chaos ensues. For some weirder stuff that you probably might want to wait a little bit and then watch, Mighty Boosh is huge. It's very funny.
Can she say that?
It's very weird.
I don't know.
Oh, she's talking about a show. Okay.
I was wondering whether we should bleep it out.
It's about two misfits who essentially are trying to find their way in the world. They encounter magic. They run a zoo. And they go through a weird musical journey. So if you want to see some really weird, obscure British comedy, The Mighty Boosh is for you. Also spawning off that is Snuffbox, which is about a hangman and his best friend who's an American and is stupider than dirt.
Because all of us Americans are pretty stupid.
Very, very cool. Wild West is a fun show as well. It's about two women. It's Dawn French and Catherine Tate, who are self-proclaimed lesbians because everyone they've ever met is actually in a relationship. And just kind of what goes on around them. It's very silly. Let me see. What else do we have? Saxon Dale, which has Steve Coogan. It's about an old man who runs a pest control company, but loves cars, and he's just a weird, obnoxious man.
He has a lot of Volkswagens.
But it is pretty weird.
Did you ever see a Chef with an exclamation point?
No.
That's another British one. That was about a chef. Imagine that.
I was expecting
and his exclamation point.
And his exclamation
point. Like a really weird twist, because there are some really weird twists in British comedy. But you had a quote about British comedy that was really
this
funny.
This was from Time Magazine from November in 2011. They had made the American version of The Office, which started out as a British show, The Office, for those of you who don't know. And they are different.
Yes, definitely different.
And but they are both produced and written by mostly Ricky Gervais, who is a British comedian. And they had asked him, well, what's the difference between British comedy and American comedy? And I'm going to quote him here. He says, it's often dangerous to generalize, but under threat, I would say that Americans are more down the line. They don't hide their hopes and fears. They applaud ambition and openly reward success. Brits are more comfortable with life's losers. We embrace the underdog until it's no longer the underdog. We like to bring authority down a peg or two just for the hell of it. Americans say, just for the hell of it, period. Americans say, have a nice day, whether they mean it or not. Brits are terrified to say this. We tell ourselves it's because we don't want to sound insincere, but I think it might be for the opposite reason. We don't want to celebrate anything too soon. Failure and disappointment lurk around every corner. This is due to our upbringing. Americans are brought up to believe that they can be the next president of the United States. Brits are told, it won't happen for you. So there's later down in there, he talks about how a lot of what they do is self-deprecating, and they use sarcasm as a shield and a weapon.
So and, I have a really great show if you want to watch and see what Brits are kind of like on the inside from a comedy perspective specifically. It's called Very British Problems.
Are they kind of red and squishy?
No, it's just like about having to say like have a nice day, or like holding the door open from somebody like who's like a mile away, you know, that kind of thing. So it talks about the eccentricities of the British and their culture. And so that might help explain this a little bit more. And it is very funny. I died laughing watching that show. It's hysterical.
And then she was resurrected.
Yeah, now she's dead. She's a zombie. This explains a whole lot.
It does, doesn't it?
British comedy loving
zombie. They love irony, and they love the dry humor. And
subtext.
And it's, whereas when you watch American comedies, they try to like hit you over the head with the joke and nothing subtle.
Right, right. And there's a lot of physical comedy on the British side, but on the U.S. side, I think it's even more extreme. Mm-hmm. Like they try to outdo themselves to a point. And we have a lot more cringe comedy than they do as well. It's like, this is such an awkward situation that it's funny kind of a thing.
Well, that's an interesting analysis.
So I would think maybe why don't we look at, see if we can't come up with some of our own comedy with our Ask Us Anything.
There you go.
And I guess I stole Chelsea's line there.
So, there you go.
Why don't you take it?
I was sitting here in shock like,
why don't
really?
You say it? Well, let's pretend I didn't say that. And we'll pretend,
you can say it.
We'll pretend that guy's going to edit it out.
I'm not just gonna, like, follow
yeah,
you
I might
that.
Edit that out.
You're not going to edit it out. Don't freaking lie. Let's go to the AWA. No. I'm already mad. No, stop.
Today's Ask Us Anything comes from an anonymous patron here at Starbucks where we're sitting right now.
Troy just and asked a random stranger.
It's basically an ask a random stranger to ask us anything.
Which worked.
And it worked. And it was, how do you feel about gay marriage? So I've never been gay married myself.
Me neither.
But I am not against...
Should we be married now?
I'm already married.
Oh.
And it's not the kind of arrangement.
You can't be like double married.
That's illegal,
isn't it? You can't just have like your straight marriage and then your gay marriage.
Why not?
Because the law doesn't recognize you being
married
to two people at the same time.
Your tax forms really complicated.
That really would.
Complicated.
You'd like really mess up your...
You'd have to keep separate receipts.
Mess up your tax forms a lot. So what do you think about gay marriage?
I have no reason at all to be against it.
Love is love.
I think that, heck.
What do you bring to the table?
The shuttle pilot.
Sally Ride. Dr. Ride.
Dr. Ride is a great example of why it should be legal and why it should be allowed.
Yeah.
And you being NASA boy, not nasty boy, but NASA boy, I'll let you fill in the audience
that situation?
On that if you want.
So, yeah, Dr. Ride had been in a relationship with another female for a long, long, long time. And because of the DOMA, Defense of Marriage Act, when she passed away, she wasn't allowed to pass her inheritance or her government pension and all of that stuff on to her partner, mm-hmm. which was pretty sad.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of an unpleasant experience. But personally, myself, I've got a buddy who is from junior high who is married and a homosexual and things like that. And I think really my personal feeling on this is everybody should know somebody who is homosexual, like really closely get to know them,
mm-hmm.
because I think that changes their opinion. Most of the people who I know who have a problem with homosexuals generally comes from not knowing somebody close. Because
it's just that fear of the unknown.
Yeah, it's the fear of the unknown.
Because
once you know somebody, it really, you just kind of get to the, okay.
They're just
some other dude.
People.
Yeah, they're just some other dude or some other dudette.
Well, a lot of the couples that I know have kids or want to have kids, so they wanted the legality so that they could make sure that they were okay and taxes were okay. And if one of them passed away, you know, the kid would be okay. And
yep.
They've adopted a lot of children. So it's a big deal. Like, legally, there's a lot of stuff going on there, and they should have every right to get married and share those
one
same
of the
liberties.
Things with it is... People say, well, marriage is religion, and religion says blah, blah, blah. I'm like,
it's
well, here's the problem. Religion and government are supposed to be separated.
It's just legality, though.
Yeah, there's a lot
taxes
of governmental stuff that's connected to marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So
That makes it really.
Don't call it marriage anymore. Just
call it whatever. Yeah. But as long as the legal stuff's all the same,
yeah,
we're all good.
All the legal stuff and all the benefits of two people being together to that terminology, and then that way you can have a church say only redheads can marry other redheads, and it won't matter because yep. that's the religion. Fine, freedom of religion. Go do that.
Yeah.
But the problem is this freedom of religion thing is connecting into all this actual real world legal stuff that's right. messing with things,
making it more complicated.
So that's where my
That makes it complicated.
Cucumber in the shoe is a problem.
Yeah.
I'm making up a term.
Cucumber in the
cucumber
shoe.
Cucumber in the shoe.
All right.
Very good. And we have coined cucumber in the shoe. There you go.
So why don't you write to us and tell us what your cucumber in the shoe is at
questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com. Well, that's all the time we have for today. I'd like to thank all the British folks who've made comedies because they're very funny. And even though I don't get all of them, I still think they're very funny and very cool. So there you go.
And yes, go check out British comedies. I'm very pro British.
It's the biggest thing, yeah. I want to see like what you guys think of some of the stuff we suggested because it's very near and dear to our hearts for Troy and I. So just go ahead and message us on Facebook if you have watched some comedies that we suggested or if you found new ones that you think we'd love based on our geekiness. There's a lot of geek humor out there, so
yeah,
let us know.
You can smoke as a kipper and we'll be back before breakfast.
I've been Guy.
I've been Troy.
And I've been Chelsea.
And this is Geek Tank 324.
As always, you can email us at questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com. Join the conversation on Twitter at RMGeekTank. You can also follow us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Tumblr. We're Rocky Mountain Geek Tank. Feel free to join the conversation. We look forward to hearing from you.
Geek Tank is a production of Fox Blade Media and is protected under the Creative Commons 3.0 license.
Your hosts today were Guy S. Davis, C. Troy Floor, and Chelsea Kramer.
Kevin Weibler is our engineer, and our music was composed by David Coyle. Geek Tank is funded by listeners like you. Please consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/Foxblade. I'm Mike Davis reminding you that it's elementary, my dear Watson. Good night.